morning's scripture reading is 2 Thessalonians 1, 1 to 4, and 11 to 12. I, Paul, am writing this letter. Silas and Timothy join me in writing. We are sending this letter to you, the members of the church in Thessalonica. You belong to God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Brothers and sisters, we should always thank God for you. That is only right, because your faith is growing more and more. We also thank God that the love you all have for one another is increasing. So among God's churches, we brag about the fact that you didn't give up easily. We brag about your faith in all the suffering and testing you are going through. Keeping this in mind, we never stop praying for you. Our God has chosen you. We pray that he will make you worthy of his choice. We pray he will make every good thing you want to do come true. We pray that he will do this by his power. We pray that he will make perfect all that you have done by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus will receive glory through what you have done. We also pray that you will receive glory through what he has done. We pray all these things in keeping with the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a reading of the word.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. God of light, open us now to hear and receive your word. By the power of your Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear, wisdom to understand, and courage to answer your call to us today. Amen. As I read this passage over and over, I couldn't help but to think of you, all of you, individually, collectively. This is a love letter to the congregation of Thessalonica from Paul and Silas and Timothy. It's a letter of both pride and encouragement for these people. And I could see myself writing a very similar letter to you. I mean, I probably wouldn't write it in quite this fashion. It's a little too ancient Mediterranean for me. I'm a little more of a modern gal. But Paul's typical letter outline includes, you know, this introduction. Who's writing? Who's being written to? A thanksgiving. Continuing concern for the church. An ethical exhortation or two or three, instructions about church life, closing greetings. And in this passage, we're really only getting the greeting and thanksgiving parts. And you might have noticed that this letter wasn't written by just one person, but three people, Paul, Silas, and Timothy. And I'm sure that even more people would have written if they could have. But these were the people that the Thessalonians would have been the most familiar with. If it had just come from Paul, the importance of that collaborative nature of Christianity, of being Christians in community, might have been lost. These authors want to be an example to the Thessalonians of the power that joining together and being a united front has. And just in case the Thessalonians have forgotten, Paul reminds the congregation that they do indeed belong to God. Paul wishes them the grace and the peace of Christ. Paul acknowledges and commends the congregation that their faith in Christ and that their love for one another is increasing. It just keeps getting bigger. And he doesn't want that to stop. He wants it to continue to increase forever. See, the Thessalonians at this time, they were going through some really hard times. And we're not exactly sure of like the very specifics of what they were going through, but historically we know that persecution of Christians at this time was rampant. And Paul is relieved that the church has survived any of these attacks, but he also wants to reassure and encourage them to continue standing firm in their faith. It's because of the way that they are bound together through faith and love that they have been able to withstand oppression from the outside world. It is their faith and love for one another that will help them to continue to endure further suffering. The Thessalonians have shown so much resilience that the authors brag about them. They brag to others how the Thessalonians don't give up. They brag to others how even though the Thessalonians have been tested through suffering, they have enduring faith. They keep showing up. They keep worshiping God. I know we're not very fond of bragging today, but you have to admit it feels real good when people say nice things about you. When someone tells you that they're proud of you, even if they tell other people that they're proud of you, if they don't tell you, but they tell other people and you hear it from other people. I mean, yeah, the Thessalonians didn't endure suffering or come to love each other and depend on God just so that Paul and Timothy and Silas would say nice things about them. Congregation at Thessalonica was a source of pride and honor for Paul. Paul was proud of all of the communities that he helped establish. And he should have been. They've been examples for us, and we're still talking about them almost 2,000 years later. Paul, Silas, and Timothy are so, so impressed with this congregation's faith. They have to commend them. They're not even just giving them an A for effort, good for trying, but for actually making improvements in their faith and their love for one another. Even though they're proud, maybe because they're proud, the authors let the Thessalonians know that they pray unceasingly for the congregation. They know that God has chosen this congregation as an example, and they want to make sure that the Thessalonians live up to it, that God will continue to make them worthy of being chosen. And these Thessalonians, they have so many ideas. They got ideas for mission and outreach and education and all sorts of things. All these ideas that are going to honor God and let more people know about Jesus. And Paul prays that God will make all of those things become successful. Because ultimately, whatever amazing things the Thessalonians do, it's going to glorify Christ. The overall message of this letter is telling us that we, as chosen individuals and as a chosen church, it tells us what we're meant to do. Love. Love is the guiding light of the church. God's love for us, our love for God, the love that we have for one another, that should be informing all of our interactions if we want to be a successful community of faith. When love is at the base of every decision that we make, we are honoring God. This letter to the Thessalonians is timeless, and I found it especially applicable to Glenshaw Valley. So I tried my hand at a little rewrite. Now, Arlie, don't get mad at me. Arlie was upset that I misquoted the Bible because in Hebrews it doesn't actually literally say autumn leaves. Jesus doesn't.
Pull it towards the beautiful though.
Okay, here we go. I, Kristen, am writing this letter to you, the members of Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. You, collectively and individually, belong to our triune God, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. May you all be given grace and peace through Christ. I know you don't always feel it, but the wider community thanks God for this church. Your faith is continually growing. I see the ways that you love God and one another. Writing letters, making phone calls, chores around the church and for each other. Undoubtedly, you all do so much more that I am completely unaware of. And you have been through some hard times as a congregation and as individuals. And I know you felt tested, but you haven't given up. And each obstacle that you have faced has only made you trust God more and love and care for each other more. You have become resilient, determined, tenacious. I am so very thankful for you, and I admire you so very much. I talk about Glenshaw Valley every chance I get. I brag about how you use the buildings throughout the week and the way that you welcome visitors. I boast about the ways that you forgive one another when mistakes are made. I talk about the ways that you support one another when someone is going through a hard time. How faithfully you pray for this church, both in Thanksgiving and for its success. And you know what? I'm always praying for you too. God has chosen you. God has chosen you, Glenshaw Valley. Individually and collectively. Glenshaw Valley survives and looks towards thriving because you have been chosen by God. God notices the faith that spills out the doors of this building. I also pray that God will make you worthy of this choice. Let's show God that we're worthy of being chosen. God's going to provide all of the gifts, all of the resources, all of the knowledge that we need. We just have to accept it and follow through. God knows that you want to do good things for one another, for this church, for this neighborhood. So let's keep praying that God will continue to support our good things and stretch us to think outside of the box. That God will point us towards the good things that we haven't even thought of yet. I pray that the Holy Spirit continues to send the grace of God and peace of Christ to Glenshaw Valley. Because when you succeed, Christ succeeds. When others see the love Glenshaw Valley shares and they want to be a part of it, Jesus wins. And you have been chosen to be a part of it all. Thanks be to God. Amen.